Let's begin by finding a comfortable position, perhaps resting on a cushion because we're going to meditate.
Take a deep inhale. Gently exhale.
Mindfulness meditation is becoming as popular as yoga. It's the practice of being present in the moment to really pay attention to what is happening around us and within us.
Notice the air coming into your body and filling your lungs.
Everybody's doing it. Stressed out parents, police officers, CEOs, doctors, nurses. Research has shown that mindfulness meditation has a positive impact on people's health and that it's effective in stress reduction. Could this practice also focus fidgety school children and improve their ability to learn? Stephanie Marudas reports.
Skipping recess to meditate might not be what most kids would choose to do, but here in the lunchroom at Isaac Shepherd Elementary School in North Philadelphia, this loud bunch of third and fourth graders is about to get quiet. They gather around teacher Jamie Roberts. She's going to take them to her classroom for meditation club.
Remember that when you hear the bell, that's to remind you to return your attention again and again to the way it feels to be walking. Okay?
At the front of the line, a child strikes a bell, and nearly 20 kids walk silently up several flights of stairs. When the kids get into Robert's classroom, they congregate in a circle. Some find spots on the floor, others wriggle into chairs. Roberts talks briefly, and then a designated student recites a series of phrases that the group repeats.
May we be safe and protected.
Whisper it.
Safe and protected.
Some kids look around, squirm in their seats, make funny faces, or whisper to a friend, while others have closed their eyes and take deep breaths. And by the end, the group appears calm.
My name is Andrew, and I'm in third grade. Meditation changed my life because I was like stressed out. But then when I found meditation, it kept me happy and calm.
My name is Serena, and I felt really, really mad. I just felt like I want to hurt people. But when I got here, I felt calm and I feel relaxed, and that's it.
The club's origins trace back to 2010, when Jamie Roberts was doing meditation on her lunch break to deal with her own stress. Some kids wanted to learn to do the same, and so they started a club. In its first year, Roberts says a shooting happened outside of the school, and it left many of the kids shaken.
That night, a lot of the kids had trouble sleeping. So the next day, when we had meditation, I asked if anyone wanted to talk about it, and one girl raised her hand and said, I couldn't sleep last night. But then I meditated, and then I could sleep. Two other kids kind of like raised a finger and nodded like they had done the same thing.
Some kids have taken more to meditating than others, including this student here. She describes what seems to be a mindfulness practice known as the body scan.
My name is Nayana. I'm in third grade. If your shoulder or your head hurts, you can just close your eyes and take deep breaths and just go to your shoulder or your head and just feel how it's feeling, and maybe after you'll feel better.
2 miles away from Isaac Shepherd, a high school meditation club has taken shape at Mariana Bracetti Charter School.
Let's see if you can gently bring yourself back to the feeling or the sound of your breathing.
In her classroom after school, teacher Andrea DeCero does some guided meditations. One of the club's members is Karan Gaines.
Before mindfulness, I just felt confused, and it was like everything was happening too fast. But now that I've been doing mindfulness, you know, sometimes I'll stop, take a deep breath, and think about it.
Student athletes like Ronald Palmer have also done mindfulness training with Andrea DeCero. Palmer says doing focused breathing has been helpful on and off the wrestling mat.
Say, like, if you're about to get in a fight or argument with somebody and you don't want to fight and you want to make the right decision, you come back to mindfulness and you take a deep breath and you walk away from the fight. I did it a lot of times.
Breathing more slowly can help to reduce autonomic arousal, which can be deleterious and can result in more impulsive decision-making.
That's Richard Davidson, a neuroscientist and leading researcher on the impact of mindfulness on the brain. He's the founder of the Center for Investigating Healthy Minds at the University of Wisconsin.
And when people are actually paying attention to what they're doing, they actually report increased levels of positive emotion and well-being compared to periods of time when they're distracted.
Most of the evidence right now on mindfulness-related practices comes from adults. And according to Davidson, few rigorous studies have been done on children and teens. His group is interested in finding out more about the impact of mindfulness training on things like the regulation of attention and emotion, the ability to focus on a specific goal, and cognitive control.
And to the extent that mindfulness practices help directly in promoting these kinds of regulatory skills, and also secondarily reducing the impact of stressful events and enabling people to cope more adaptively with those events, we would expect to see gains on these kinds of functions. But we really need to do the research before we can more definitively say that this is helpful during this period of life.
Among the few evidence-backed programs out there to teach students mindfulness is the Learning to Breathe curriculum, created by Penn State researcher Trish Broderick. She works with teachers to first develop their own mindfulness practices before they get trained in the curriculum and teach it to students. In a recent study at two comparable suburban public high schools in the Philadelphia area, Broderick tested what would happen when one of the school's concert choirs did the curriculum weekly for 15 to 20 minutes over 18 weeks.
And we looked at emotion regulation in the students. In other words, were they aware of their emotional states? Were they clear about what they were feeling? We looked at their stress level. We asked them about their somatic symptoms and things like how cranky they felt, whether they could concentrate or not, you know, if they had aches and pains.
And the study showed students made improvements on these measures, while the comparison group, which did not do the curriculum, either stayed the same or did a little worse. Broderick finds the results promising, but acknowledges the study's limitations, including self-reported data by students, the limited sample size, and scope of the target group.
We'd certainly like to know what this would be like to do it in all the classes in a school as part of a regular curriculum. That would be the next step in terms of making this more sustainable.
And researchers like University of Virginia's Tish Jennings are getting closer to finding out whether students benefit when teachers bring mindfulness-related practices into the classroom. She's currently running a randomized controlled trial with 224 teachers, who as a group oversee thousands of students across 36 New York City public elementary schools. And so far, Jennings says half of these teachers have gone through mindful awareness and emotion skills training as part of a professional development program she created.
If you can help teachers in this way, can you improve the classroom climate? And in turn, does it also improve student academic and behavioral outcomes? So we're collecting data from teachers and asking teachers to report on their individual children.
Jennings' findings could be a game changer for how mindfulness-related practices take hold in schools. For The Pulse, I'm Stephanie Marutis.
May I be happy and calm.